Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Dr. Cindy Collins, her friends, her family, her clients, her patients. And we want this to be the best year ever for all our friends and family and loyal listeners worldwide.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into Joyce Barry and Friends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is joycebarry.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever.
Folks, we are so privileged and proud to have with us today Dr. Cynthia Collins. She talks about breast cancer awareness. You have to think pink, says Cindy. You will hear about the new advances in breast cancer. You will learn why you must get mammograms and not overlook any lumps in your body. You must get them checked out immediately. Time is of the essence. The life you save may be your own. Cynthia Collins, Dr. Collins, has so many titles. She's a board-certified specialist, oncology, nutrition. She works at South Florida Radiation Oncology, 21st Century Oncology. She has her own practice. And I just want to say I know firsthand how extraordinary Dr. Collins is because I only work with the best, and I am working with Dr. Collins. Dr. Collins, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joyce, and hello, everybody. Today, the title of our show is The Color Pink in honor of Breast Cancer Month, which is the month of October. So I hope we have a lot of people who either have had breast cancer or know someone who has, and there's a very good chance with the numbers of breast cancers these days that you do. So I hope you're listening in because I have a lot of good news for everybody.
I just want to say one thing. There are so many people already that have called into the show, and you're listening from our studio lines. If you want to talk on the show, hit the number one, because there's no way I have of knowing whether you're just listening in. Some people listen via the computer. Some people listen via the chat room. Some listen through the studio line. So if you want to chat with us at any point during the show, just hit the number one so I'll know it's something you want to do. As I said, there's quite a few people already on the board, but you're not in the host queue to listen. Okay, having said that, my goodness, where do we start? Pink is really one of my favorite colors, but there's so much significance to it beside it being pretty pink. Where do you want to start, Dr. Collins?
Let's start right there with the color pink because as much as I've gotten used to it, as a lot of people have heard, I work in oncology. So I've kind of gotten used to the color pink being associated with breast cancer. But even I began to wonder, where did that begin? Yeah, I walked into work last week, and right at the nurse's station, I was handed a pink pad of paper, a pink pen. I mean, there were pink decorations everywhere. One of our offices even has what looks like a Christmas tree decorated in pink. And I really started to wonder, who thought of the color pink? And of course, now we have other colors for other cancers. But so I looked into it, and the association with pink goes all the way back to the 17th century. In fact, that's the first recorded time that we know that anyone even used the word pink to indicate a color. And it was really referring to pale red, and it refers to a flower. There's a flower with the name pink. And that's exactly where they started to pull the word pink from. And as you know, over time, we began to associate pink with femininity and tenderness and charm, things like that. But all the way even from soft pink, really to shocking pink and magenta, they're all in the family of pink. And it used to be that women were actually, or girls rather, were actually first dressed in blue. And pink was used for boys. And pink is still used in Japan for men. It's still associated with the male side of our species. I looked it up, and I found out that Queen Victoria in 1850 was one of the first people to begin to popularize pink. And everyone's probably heard of Madame Pompadour, right? She was the mistress of Louis XV in France. She popularized pink and blue, but let's think about the U.S. In the United States, it was the president's wife, so President Eisenhower. His wife is Mamie. I think everybody might remember that. She was actually called Mamie Pink, and she was called that because she began to solidify this association we have between pink and girls, all the way to the point now where if you look back, for example, some of the Disney characters are not dressed in pink. They're dressed in blue because that's the earlier times, but now we're associating pink with femininity. So Breast Cancer Awareness Month began using pink in 2008. That's our most recent time that we have any recording with the month being associated with pink. And the pink ribbon that everyone is familiar with, you know, the breast cancer ribbon, was first drawn or used to symbolize breast cancer in 1991. So I find it very fascinating to see the color and how much it means to people. And now it's so easy for us to immediately associate pink with breast cancer. Some people like it and some people aren't that crazy about, you know, having the color pink. We can talk about that side of it too. But that's just a little history on breast cancer and in the history of the color pink. Pretty fascinating, I think.
It's very fascinating because you mentioned there are colors associated to other cancers. And outside of the pink with breast cancer, I've never heard of any color with any other cancer. So that's a news item to me.
Well, you know, I think what might have happened is that some people began to think, well, this is really unfair. I'll just name a few of them for those of you who aren't familiar with it. Sometimes a multicolored band or ribbon means any cancer, all cancer. But, for example, brain cancer is the color gray. Childhood cancer is the color gold. Kidney cancer is the color orange. Leukemia is also orange.
Wait. I have to stop you because I find this so fascinating. I'm trying to get it down. And as fast as I'm writing, because I didn't know any of this, I can't keep up with you. So on behalf of people that can't keep up with you because we're not taking it in shorthand, let's go to that multicolor ribbon, starting there, and say it a little slower because I do want to know about this.
Well, okay. Now, I just want everybody to know I'm only going to name a few of them because I have more than 20 on a list here. So,
really?
But yeah, there's that many. But the ones I'm naming, I'm hoping I'll touch on the people who are, you know, more commonly listening. Like brain cancer, I think it's understandable why that's gray, because typically when you look at the brain in real life, you know, it's gray. Gray matter. But the color orange associated with the kidney and also with leukemia is kind of interesting. And stomach cancer has a nice color. It's periwinkle. So they began to run out of colors.
You started to say childhood cancer. What was that?
Childhood cancer is gold.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think that these other colors have quite the significance of the early meaning of the color the way the pink does, because pink was really the first color associated with any cancers. But and even now, you know, for Major League Baseball, during the month of October, sometimes they'll use pink bats. So everyone has kind of started to use this. But pink was popular way before breast cancer. You've heard lots of phrases like, I'm tickled pink. Right? Or I'm in the pink, meaning things are going really well. So pink has a lot of symbolism. Now we're associating it with breast cancer, especially as a symbol of hope and the awareness of breast cancer. I think that's the real difference, you know, that we've really popularized it and associated it with breast cancer. It's important for me to say, though, that men also can be diagnosed with breast cancer. So it's not only about femininity and women, but as far as breast cancer goes, that we also have men who are diagnosed with breast cancer, and we don't want to forget that. That's a very important segment of the population as well.
Yes, but it's not really talked about all that much. It's not really out there all that much. So just for a moment, I just want to go back to one thing. As you see, I'm caught up in the colors here.
Mm-hmm.
It just amazes me, childhood, the color gold, because you think of a child with cancer, what could be worse than that? I would think of black, and yet gold is abundance and prosperity. So I wonder how they came up with that.
I'm not sure. I should research that one as well. But when I think of gold, I think of the color success. Like even a lot of our medals are, you know, we have the gold medal, and that's the highest medal in the Olympics, for example. I think of gold also, like you're saying, of something of success. And so that, I know, I should look that up and see. Peach is the color for uterine cancer. Violet is Hodgkin's lymphoma. So there's so many. The zebra stripe is used for carcinoid cancers. Very interesting. There's even
it
a color for caregivers, by the way. The color plum has now been associated for caregivers, which I like that because I think caregivers should be included too.
Caregivers sometimes have it harder than the person with the affliction because it's so painful to watch someone you love go through what they're going through. And when do you feel more helpless than when someone you love is going through so much and you just want to be able to wave a wand and it would be all right, things would go well?
That's so true. And I want to bring up, you know, it's not just the color pink, but, for example, in the breast cancer support group that I run last Thursday, one of the women had gone to one of the walks. You know, there are a lot of walks during this month for breast cancer. And she said it made her feel so hopeful, so good that so many people came out to do the walk or to organize the walk. They gave away food. They gave away waters. They gave away hats, bags, just everything they could. I don't think it's the tangible items that everyone is excited about as much as the symbolism that pink is now saying. We have hope about breast cancer. We're trying to spread the awareness about breast cancer. For example, with men, the awareness for breast cancer in men, like you said, is very low. We don't talk to men about doing self-breast exams, but they should. Any person who feels a lump anywhere should go into the doctor and get it checked out. And that's typically how it is for men. You know, they don't have the usual hormonal fluctuations that a woman would have associated with their breast. So they would need to actually note that they have a lump or something unusual about the skin or the tissue in the breast or chest area for them. And that brings me into some of the good news. I want to share some of the good news with some of our audience. For example, right now, we have a decrease in the deaths from breast cancer by 40% over the last 25 years. That's huge. 40% over the past 25 years. That's the equivalent of 322,000 lives saved. I think that's a really amazing number.
It is indeed. And it's important to have hope. Without that, life doesn't even seem like it's worth living. So the hope, the faith, the prayers are all an important part of getting into remission ASAP.
That is so true. And I note that I hear more and more fear about breast cancer because our incidence is higher. 1 in 8 women will develop breast cancer, according to the statistics anyway. 1 in 8 women, that's over 12% of the female population. So that sounds very scary, but there's so much you can do to try to prevent breast cancer. And once you have been diagnosed, we have really excellent studies showing the things that you can do to stay in remission. So there's where the hope comes. The hope comes in our mammograms, which bring early detection. Very early detection, which is probably part of why we have fewer deaths, because we have earlier detection. And then we also have I want to talk about two studies sometime during the hour that are advances in what we know about what's causing breast cancer as well. So earlier detection, knowing the cause, and then really good treatments. That's lowering the actual death from breast cancer, which is really important. Once you've had the diagnosis, it's up to you to do everything you can to stay hopeful and stay in remission. And there are definitely a few things about nutrition and also stress management that help on that end of things.
Dr. Cindy, another thing you said that's kind of shocking, 1 in 8 women get breast cancer, I think, of all the other cancers. So if there was a statistic of how many people get cancer, I can't even imagine what the number is when 1 in 8 alone get breast cancer.
Well, 1 in 3 persons over the age of 65 can expect a diagnosis of cancer in general.
Wow.
That's very high. So, but I really hesitate sometimes to give out statistics like that because that's the current rate based on all of our known diagnoses. It doesn't mean we can't change the tide on that. It doesn't mean that with all of our preventative actions, we can't lower our risk of cancers. But, you know, cancer also comes with aging. That's the main reasons behind a woman getting breast cancer are the fact that she's female. And then age. So these are, you know, cancer is really also a disease of aging. But again, nothing about aging is necessarily inevitable. It doesn't mean that there's nothing you can do to prevent it. There's still so much you can do for yourself.
Well, I just want to share with people, being transparent here, I am one of the 1 in 8 women that had gotten breast cancer. I had a full breast mastectomy. And then the other breast, I had reconstructive surgery. On the bright side, I had said to the surgeon, who was one of the top in the field for reconstructive, I said, I expect you to give me the breasts of an 18-year-old. And then when it was the unmasking, when all the tape and everything came off, and he said, "You look disappointed." I said, "I am." He said, "It's not one of an 18-year-old breast." I said, "No, it's one of a 19-year-old." So that was my humor in the whole thing, because that's Joyce Barry here. I have to find humor in everything. So we both just laughed and laughed. I said, "No, you made it that of a 19-year-old. So I survived a full breast mastectomy, and I went on to graduate to other cancers as well, which we won't get into at this time. But I just know that the mixture of positive thinking, faith, hope, and prayer, and friends and tremendous support is what got me through it, not to mention the extraordinary surgeons, and I did have radiation. I've been through so much, and I'm still here to tell about it. So let that inspire all of you out there.
It's very inspiring, your story, especially that you are still here to tell about it. And I love the humor that you, I know you use humor and everything, but I love hearing it specifically in something that can be so devastating as going through a mastectomy. I mean, because I'm privileged to hear the stories of so many women every day, just that piece of it is something that, you know, I wish we could be more open about, and I'm hoping today some people will call in, because our own self-image of being feminine, of being a woman, of being a certain age or having the vitality of the age we feel, which is probably a better way to say that, is so important. It's very difficult for a lot of women to even deal with the idea that they may lose their breast or they may lose the image they have of themselves. I think that's an exceptionally important topic that we need to talk about more and more. And the color pink kind of opens the door for that, only because when we use the color pink to symbolize breast cancer, and last week I saw a lot of people in pink. I went to a fundraiser called Save the Tatas on Saturday night, a fundraiser for breast cancer, and many people were decked out in pink, even the men. And then the money from that fundraiser is going to a group locally here called Bosom Buddies. So, you know, we're getting more open about our terminology, more open about the fact that we might have breast cancer. I don't see as many people shying away from wearing pink, except that they may just not want to be labeled out in public as a patient who has breast cancer. But I think it opens our door to talk about self-image and how you really feel when you're facing a mastectomy, facing your femininity, hoping that you don't feel that it's taken away from you. Do you remember any of the feelings you went through at the time in that arena?
Yes, I do. And it wasn't so much about self-image or looking a certain way or having all my body parts. It was the fear of losing the battle to cancer. It was a fear of surgery. It was all those things that outweighed any kind of thought about self-image or how I looked or how I would feel. I was really, really scared. It was my first battle with cancer. I've since been through another three. As I said, I told the doctors I'm running out of body parts, and here I am living to tell about it.
Wow, that's very inspiring that you're here, and I'm sure you have some very strong principles of what it is that brought you through that. And I know the humor is one of them. We have some really interesting new data. Thank goodness we're actually spending money, research money, on looking into exactly what you said, how to deal with the fear, you know, of actually getting through the cancer diagnosis and continuing to live. But one brand new study that just got published on the 24th of this month talks about the fact that we now know 72 new genetic mutations that lead to breast cancer. I know everybody's heard of BRCA1, BRCA2. Those are familiar to everyone. But can you imagine we have now 72 known genetic mutations that are behind at least heritable or the inherited breast cancer? So if it's partly genetic, a lot of people say to me, well, what can I possibly do then? Well, what you can do is if you knew, and if the doctors start to measure for you having these genetic variations, you would want to take extra precautions. But I say we should all do what anybody would do with a genetic variation. Here's what they recommend. Maintain a healthy weight. Exercise regularly. Limit your alcohol. Eat nutritious food and never smoke. So why, you know, my feeling is that even if I don't know that I have one of the genetic mutations, I'm going to try the best I can to lead a life with all of those preventative measures just in case, even if there's breast cancer in my family and I know there's a genetic, you know, trend, which I do have breast cancer in my family. My sister, who might be listening today, is very much past her breast cancer diagnosis, but she's one of four girls, you know, my siblings, who had breast cancer. So we should all be looking at those measures on how to keep ourselves as much as possible, you know, from getting a diagnosis. Those aren't easy things to do, though, are they, Joyce?
No, it certainly isn't easy. I would say if I had to pick one thing that overrides everything else that's helping me pull through with everything is when you find a mission bigger than you. Having this show every day to get my message out, all designed to make a positive impact in people's lives, is the glue that holds me together. Mm. It's something so far more important than myself that I have a voice out there to really, really help people, which is what my life is all about. So I would say more than anything, that's what gets me through, and that's what I encourage all of you. I can't give advice as a doctor or nurse practitioner. I'm certainly not up on that level of being a guru, but I do know that positive thinking and hope, prayer, friend support does impact you to help you get through these things. And believe me, if I can get through it, you can get through it.
Well, what you make me think of the purposeful life, you know, the purpose-driven life, and so many patients ask me about giving back. How can I give back? And what you've just said, you know, once you have faced and moved through a cancer diagnosis, it must allow you to see a bigger picture. And there's a way that everyone can give back. There's a room for everyone. There's a role that anyone can take in giving back to others, especially when you've been through it. Myself either. I personally haven't gone through breast cancer, so I don't have the true strong empathy that another cancer patient would have. That's why I love the support groups, because now you have patients talking to patients, patients who really know the experience. Not that we're all the same, but at least they have a similar experience having gone through the cancer. So I did want to touch a little bit on, before we get into some of the other research, the color pink, because some people resist the color pink, and I just want to talk in their defense. I have a lot of patients newly diagnosed that say, well, I don't have to wear pink, do I? Or I refuse to wear the color pink. And I think what I'm hearing there, and maybe somebody who wants to call in today can give their side of the opinion, but I think what I'm hearing is that they don't want to be associated with the victim stance that some patients feel when they're first diagnosed. Like, you might feel very victimized by the diagnosis, and you don't want to feel like you're just one of a large crowd of victims who have now this cancer. I'd like to correct that it's not victimization. There's always something you can do for yourself, but yet I still understand why some people feel that way about the color pink. So if there's anybody out there today who wants to give their opinion on wearing pink or not, or I even have some patients who feel that all of the walks and all of the good news is kind of masking how serious breast cancer is. Some of my patients are stage 4 or they have metastatic breast cancer, and they think that everyone's making it look super easy and, you know, just like something that's not really as serious and as possibly lethal as it is. But none of us feel that way. We know breast cancer is a very serious diagnosis, and there are women who are unable to move past it and to overcome the diagnosis, and they do everything in their power. But sometimes we don't have the answer for why some women go into remission and some don't. We don't always know why. So I just want to speak in their defense.
Dr. Cindy, there's a lot of people that have called in. Let's just randomly go to one. 561, let me find it. I'm trying to keep it in the order. One second. Okay. One moment. The whole board is really filled with paper. You've got
a lot of
admirers.
So
561-376. What is your name, and what would you like to share with Dr. Collins? 376. Hello, 561-376. You're on the board.
Hi. Hi. This is Tanya. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi. My name is Tanya. I am 48, and I have breast cancer, and I'm in remission. And I personally feel that I beat it. I fought it within me. And I don't want a label of cancer attached on me. I don't want to be like the poster child. Let me hold a flag I have with the pink. I have breast cancer. Now, I love to do all the research and to raise money and to do whatever I can for the cause. But I don't think it's like, you know, oh, it's Halloween. Let's all wear a costume. Or we have cancer. Let's all wear pink. I personally don't want to wear any pink.
Dr.
Okay.
Do you want to respond to that?
Okay, yes. I just wanted to make sure that you said what you wanted to say. You're exactly a case in point. Thank you for calling in, Tanya, because you're exactly a case in point of what I'm speaking about. I know that not wanting to wear pink doesn't mean you don't take it seriously. Like you said, you want to help raise money. You want to help get awareness out there, get the word out. But you don't want that label. And I think that that's a really important point. And thank goodness we have the freedom, you know, in this country to be what we want to be. So some women are very comfortable and they want to wear and display pink on themselves, on their body, and they want to start the conversation that way. And maybe your way of starting the conversation is different. So I'm wondering if you think the pink, do you feel that the label, like you said, of pink is a label of victimization, or it's a negative label for you in some way, I take it?
It's like, it's a label of saying I'm sick, my life is over, you know, it's like the scarlet A type symbol on you. Just like when I lost my hair, I didn't wear the little cap. I wanted to go in like as a punk, as a warrior.
Okay.
I don't like to have pity on me. Mm-hmm. I feel like you have the pink and it's the pity. And some people, I feel like attach that like an identity. It's not me. Cancer, it doesn't make me who I am. I was a person before, and I'm a person now. I'm a better, stronger person, but I don't think the cancer defines who I am.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So you're saying you're so much more than that. You don't want the mistake to be made that that's what you're about. And your opinion and your side, the way you feel, is just as valid and just as important as those who do affiliate, you know, with the color pink and with cancer. I think it's a very important point. I thank you very much for getting your opinion out there, because I think many people feel this way, but they're not always feel comfortable to say so.
Dr. Cindy, as a life coach, I'd like to say something here, and also someone who's in this situation, so I can relate on every level. I just want to say, as I said, what keeps me going is positive thinking. So it's not what happens to you, it's how you hold it, how you feel about what happens to you that really, really matters. So there is many people that like the pink and feel the camaraderie, and it's a symbol of I'm a fighter. But I certainly respect your feelings as well. So the key is there is no right or wrong here. It's all about opinion, and it's what makes you feel the best, the most comfortable. I'm fine with the pink. I like the symbol. I like to say, hey, I'm a survivor, but I do it not to define me, but to inspire others. So, Tanya, thank you for calling in. I certainly respect your feelings, and I wish you much success with your health.
Thank you. But I wanted to add one more thing, that I did not hide the fact that I had cancer. I was very open about it. Like, I shared it with people. I put it on Facebook, you know. So I wasn't hiding it. I just don't want it to define me.
That makes sense.
It does. And thank you so much for calling in. We have a lot of people that have called in as well. But, folks, before we move on, I just want to share with you that every day our shows are designed to impact your life in a positive way or in a fun way. Tomorrow we have our spooktacular show about Halloween. So that's what we're doing tomorrow. And again, every day in some way, we want to be there for you. And I would say that laughter is one of the most healing things you can do for yourself. So here in the words of our health guru, Beverly Nadler, is why you should be listening every day.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day. A way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we ask that you partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to Joyce Barry, Barrie, and friends.com. And on the upper left of the homepage, you'll see my picture. And right under that, if you click on follow, you will know about all our shows, all our guests, all our topics. You'll get an email advising you so you need not miss any show. And when you get to the homepage, if you arrow down, you just click on the show that resonates with you. And I promise you, many of them are really funny, designed to make you laugh and feel good. We have Here's to Your Health Thursday every Thursday with our health guru, Beverly Nadler, that shared that extraordinary poem. We have world-renowned psychic, who's a regular every month. He is psychic to the stars, to celebrities, to leaders all over the world. We have him every single month. So I promise you shows that will really impact your life if you let them. Let me go to one more person on the board at this time, 561-441. What is your name, dear?
Hi, my name is Teresa.
Go ahead, Teresa. What do you want to share with Dr. Cindy or ask her?
Yes, I am kind of conflicted with the color pink. One half of me really respects the number of women that have gone through breast cancer, so that when I had my breast cancer, it wasn't a death sentence. So that the color pink is a strong symbol of all those women that came before me. But also, you don't want to be labeled. But then the other side of me is, well, why not? Because I made it through, and so many other women are making it through because of all those other women before us.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you for calling in. I think you're making a really good point. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what I think I'm hearing is, besides the fact that you see pink as it really did symbolize hope for you because you knew so many women were through, what I think I might be hearing you say is that if we didn't have that, if we didn't have the color pink, it might not be as obvious or out there in the public eye, out there in the media, that so many women are doing well with cancer. So pink sort of has enabled them, you know, by the color and the promotions that go with it, to show that many women are living past a breast cancer diagnosis. So in that sense, perhaps it would still be more silent and you really wouldn't know. Maybe it's worse, you know, to not know how many women are doing well with pink. So can I ask you then, are you using pink and wearing pink with your conflict, or how are you handling it?
I am wearing pink because I think this is my feeling, is that anyone that's gone through it should be honored, because it is the most devastating thing to hear. I think if anyone's diagnosed with the word cancer, you just immediately think your life is over. But knowing, especially with breast cancer, knowing all these women, because of them, all of these new ways to fight breast cancer, the mammograms, the ultrasounds, eating healthy, lowering your stress, all that became from them so that we could all lead better lives. So in a way, I want to wear the pink to honor them. And then the other side is, you don't want people to treat you different, you know, because you're still you.
Yes, it does make sense. Can you describe for me any situation, maybe you can or not, but where you've had pink on or something about your appearance gave it away and someone did approach you in either a positive or a negative way? Do you have any real experiences like that?
I have I bought a tank top that has the pink ribbon on it that I wear, and sometimes I'll just get a smile from another woman, you know, if as I'm going about my day. It's people want to know what you went through.
Mm-hmm.
They can be very inquisitive about it,
mm-hmm.
and other people I have found find it offensive, which I don't understand. Which I don't understand, because it's not almost like I'm trying to think of how to describe it. Almost like they don't want to see it, if that makes sense. It's we know it exists, but don't throw it in my face.
Okay. I have had other patients tell me that they feel that people shy away from them as if they don't want to be reminded that cancer is a possibility, you know, that it's a possibility for anyone, and just like any like illness in general is. But you've had an actual experience, you think, where someone was offended by the fact that it was obvious you'd had breast cancer, you were somehow advertising it?
Right, and kind of backed away from me, and I thought, it's like, and I wanted to say to them, you won't catch it from me if you touch me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's still a lot of fear out there,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of miscommunication about what is actually going on,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still learning just myself what I can do to take care of myself, to be a more positive person. Like Joy said, laughter really does help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just the word cancer still has that, you don't talk about it to some people, not everybody, but to some people that, you know, you don't talk about illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think talking about breast cancer is a reason why I'm still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the women before me,
mm-hmm.
had shied away, I would not have been as lucky.
That is such a great point. Joyce, do you have something to say about that as well?
I really appreciate your calling in and giving your point of view. Everyone's point of view is valid. It's what works for you. But just the way it's so inspiring that all the people who came before you give you hope for a brighter tomorrow. I personally have no issue with the color pink. I don't see it as a label. I see it as I'm a survivor. Yay, I'm a survivor.
Yay.
So I appreciate what you're saying, and I thank you for calling in. I just want to say, just to clear it out, because I did reference it, after I had the breast mastectomy, then I went on to uterine cancer, and I had radiation following that surgery, and that's where I met Dr. Collins at South Florida Radiation Oncology. That's where I met her. So, yay, I survived that one too. Then I graduated to colon cancer, and I had surgery with that. That was number 3. And then I'm dealing with, as we speak, abdominal cancer and a mass on my lungs. And I just literally started a new immunotherapy a week ago, Monday, a brand new therapy, because on the abdominal one and the mass on my lungs, the therapy they gave me, it made it 20% worse. So I've been dealing. I just got to keep going and keep going. But I had said to my rabbi, I said, I think it's over for me, because everyone knows 3 strikes and you're out. and the abdominal one and the mass is number 4. And he said that doesn't apply to you. It's only if you play baseball 3 strikes and you're out, or if you commit a crime 3 strikes and you're out. And it just made me feel so much better. Yuma does get me through so much. It just made me feel better. Like I said to the surgeons, I'm running out of body parts here. It is indeed quite a challenge to just survive and keep going no matter what. And I'm hoping this new immunotherapy that'll be the one that does the trick and really put me in remission. Yes, Dr. Collins, go ahead.
Yes, I'm so sorry. I'm so happy to hear what you're saying, in the sense that now you've opened the door to something that so many more people don't want to talk about, and that's the fact that other cancers can occur and you can then overcome other cancers. You want to talk about a taboo topic. It's even harder for a lot of people to talk about that. They want a one and done. You know, one cancer, I don't want to ever have to think about it or go through it again. But if we don't talk about it, then what happens? The fear just becomes greater. It becomes taboo. It becomes something that's hidden. And we don't get the information as well as the inspiration that we need. So I am so happy for all of our call-ins, and also for your contribution today, because you're opening a door to a new topic, which really we need to talk about it. I think history has shown us what happens when things are silenced, when we don't feel comfortable with being open with really hard topics. It never benefits us to do it that way. So thank you so much for bringing that up and divulging that, and to keep it on the side of inspiration. I think that's really important. Thank you.
I want to say that one of the things that has really, really helped me is the Serenity Prayer. Just the words were so impactful. I read it pretty much every day. I have it posted in different books. Let me share that with all of you. A lot of you will recognize the first verse, because Al-Anon is associated with that, and addictions and all of that. Just hopefully none of us are addicted to cancer, and this will be the last one. So here is the Serenity Prayer, which I want to share with you. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. Amen. So that really has helped me as well. The words are so powerful about courage and acceptance. I want to go back to you, Dr. Collins. You say there are new advances in breast cancer. What would you like to share about that?
Okay. Well, one study that I shared so far was on the genetics, and now I'm going to share something completely on the other end of the spectrum. And in many ways, well, each of these causes of cancer cause a lot of fear and a lot of consternation for people. But this one I hear about more than anything, and that is what's in our environment, what's in our food, our water, our air, the electric poles. I mean, everyone seems to be having more and more fear regarding the things that we're exposed to in the environment. So now we're on the side not of nature, not genetics, but what in science we call the side of nurture. So nature is what you naturally inherit through your genes, from your parents and all of your ancestors. But nurture is what your body and your physiology are exposed to, actually from the time that you're even developing within your mother's womb. So we have brand new research in that arena as well, just published on the 6th of October this year. And this is the fact that we know now for sure that exposure to certain chemicals in early life, Now we're looking at actual early life, and breast cancer risk are associated. So a lot of people would say, well, how early? What age? When would be the most important time? And it turns out that when your breast cancer cells are dividing rapidly, for example during puberty, or during after pregnancy, during breastfeeding, you have a rapid development during those times. This is when you're most susceptible to any exposure to, for example, DDT, which everyone is aware of, used to be used quite a bit in poisons and bug sprays and things like that. Dioxins, which are found in both wood and coal burning, important to know. General air pollution, which is always dictated by where you live. Gasoline, so the fumes from gasoline itself, and other solvents like things called benzenes and formaldehydes, which are more like if you worked in fabrics or you worked in anything where you use dyes and things like that. So we know that those chemicals, for sure, during these windows of susceptibility, when your breast cancer cells are dividing rapidly, when you're having growth of the breast tissue, they can have a very strong effect or influence on you having breast cancer. What matters is how much exposure you have, also how frequent you might have been exposed to it, like a one-time exposure probably would have caused nothing, also how long the exposure went on, and then your age. So it sounds complicated, and it sounds like for the individual it'd be really hard for you to figure out, but in the world of science, it's a really big advancement to be able to pinpoint exactly which exposures, which chemical, which things have been an issue specifically in causing breast cancer. So I wanted to bring that up because I know that it feels very hopeless to a lot of people, like it's out of your control. When you were in puberty, you certainly weren't controlling a lot of where you lived and what you might have been exposed to, but now we might be able to reverse some of the regulations, some of the exposures that others have been exposed to. So for your children and grandchildren and future generations, and even for yourself, if you happen to be working in upholstery, for example, or something like that, you'd be a lot more careful to decrease your exposure. So in my mind, that's some really good research. That's positive news in the world of breast cancer. I hope other people feel that way as well.
Yes, absolutely. Dr. Collins, why don't you tell the folks a little about your private practice, your work with South Florida Radiation Oncology, and your website?
Okay. So I am a health psychologist for South Florida Radiation Oncology, and I cover both stress management, which is in the world of psychology, and coping, dealing with grief and fear, anxiety, even some of the difficulties involved in relationships with the cancer patient and their family or their caregiver. And I also have a private practice, which I have a website, www.creationbalance.com, for, again, the anxiety, the stress management in other illnesses or even in people who are without an illness. So I'm trying to cover all realms as far as prevention of illness, dealing with illness after diagnosed, and even in grief for those who are still carrying grief over the loss of a loved one. I also have a degree in nutrition, so I'm a registered dietitian. And at South Florida Radiation Oncology, I work with two other dietitians where I send them to different clinics, and we deal with patients who have any cancer diagnosis at all. One of our main focuses lately with breast cancer has been keeping a healthy weight, and that's mainly because the newest research for women with breast cancer staying in remission shows that having a healthy weight, which is measured by your BMI, I think most people are familiar with BMI, and also exercising to lower inflammatory markers are one of the strongest influences for keeping women in remission. So the data is so strong, and we're so passionate about helping women post-treatment. You know, even though we're a facility that treats patients with radiation therapy, we're even helping our patients up to a year, 2, and even 3 years later to achieve a healthy weight, maintain a healthy weight, maintain an anti-cancer diet, and also their lifestyle as far as exercising and stress management. So, and those who want to reach me at the clinic with South Florida Radiation Oncology, I have a different number. It's 561-512-2000. 0065. If you needed to reach me privately, this would be somebody who's not a South Florida radiation oncology patient. The number is 561-376-0084. So, but you can also just go to my website.
And that website is creationbalance.com.
Correct.
And folks, yeah, thank you for that, Dr. Cindy. I want them to know how to get in touch with you. I just want to share with you folks, I am a life coach. I have been that for decades. And my website, my official website is Joyce Barry, BARRIE.com. My seminar programs and my speaking engagements, you'll find all of that up there. But I just wanted to share with you that it also has countless testimonials from people all over the country that I've worked with either privately or with their business in personal and professional coaching. And let me just share a few of my favorite endorsements.
Joyce Barry is an outstanding success coach. She is a master coach, the best of the best. Here are just a few of her clients who want to endorse her. Marlon Brando.
Hiring Joyce as a coach is an offer you can't refuse.
President Bill Clinton.
I did not have sex with that woman. I did not have sex with Joyce. She is my coach.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yo, Adrian, Joyce is the best coach, you know. She helped me train for Rocky.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I hired the Joycenator because no matter how much I may drive her crazy, I know she'll be back.
President Ronald Reagan.
Well, Joyce, Nancy, and I just love you. There you go again. Win one for the Barry.
Elvis Presley.
I'm all shook up about hiring Joyce as a coach. I'll get a little less conversation, a little more coaching.
Jack Nicholson. If you can handle the truth, you want Joyce as your coach. Johnny Carson.
I can hire Joyce as a coach? I did not know that. That is wild. Did you know that, Ed?
Charlie Sheen.
Winning. That's because Joyce is my coach. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Woody Allen.
Are you crazy? This whole time I haven't had Joyce Barry as a coach? You kidding me?
Hi, Ted Siuba, and I think and grow rich. If you are thinking about hiring Joyce Barry as your coach, just do it, and we'll grow rich together.
And even Joyce Barry herself.
What do Olympic athletes have that you don't have? A coach. Hire me and have this be your best year ever. If not now, when? I want that gold medal. I want to hire me.
Email coachjoyce@AOL.com. That's coachjoyce@AOL.com.
And folks, if you email me in the subject line, put Dr. Cindy. I always like to know what show prompted people to write into the show. I'd love to hear your feedback, questions, the kind of shows you want to hear. Love hearing from our listeners. So if you put Dr. Cindy in the subject line and in the text, your name, phone number, best time to reach you. If you'd like a conversation with me, I'll be sure to call you. I love, love, and appreciate our very loyal listeners. Dr. Cindy, what is a message you want to impact people with as we're starting to close out the show?
I think the strongest message I'd like to give today is that even the evidence, even the research shows us there's so much hope. I heard Teresa when she called in saying how devastating it is to hear, you know, the cancer diagnosis. And I heard Tanya talking about how she didn't hide it, but she didn't want to be associated as far as victimized by it. And that entire way of thinking comes out of the fact that what we read in the media, what we hear from other people often has a negative message with it. And then you said, I loved what you said about it's how you hold something. It's not what's happening to you, it's how you hold it, and I'd like to say how you deal with it. So my strongest message is that there is hope. You know, there's a lot of hope with a cancer diagnosis, especially with breast cancer diagnosis. There's so much you can do. Make sure you're getting checked, getting your mammograms, doing your own self-exams, but also make sure you're living the lifestyle that you know would put you in the least amount of risk for a breast cancer diagnosis. Once you have it, it's not the end of the world. There's so much you can do for yourself, and there are many, many people out there to support you.
Absolutely. Great message. Dr. Cindy, we always love having you on the show. As you know, you are a welcome guest. Always ace it, always a great message, and we look forward to having you back again in a few weeks. Folks, ask yourself my message. Ask yourself the question, are you doing what you can to make sure you're going to be okay? For dealing with breast cancer, are you getting your mammograms when you're supposed to be getting your mammograms? Are you doing the things like exercising and eating right? Or are you coming from a place you'll get to it? I say it is so important. Ask yourself, if not now, when? And this is how I want to convey that message to you. Joyce, Barry, and Friends, the number one worldwide internet radio show. This poem, an original by yours truly, is entitled, If Not Now, When? We are giving you the education. We are giving you the information. We are giving you the motivation. We are giving you the inspiration. What you really need to do is to put this into application. Do you want a transformation? You must use your imagination. It might take some perspiration. It's all in the preparation. You must really be sure there is no procrastination. It helps to have a fascination and very strong determination. You want a positive demonstration. Achieve success in the administration. It really is the time. Give each show your consideration. What is your aspiration? What do you need for stimulation? To get healthy and off that medication, to get wealthy, it's your destination. So make today the day for your participation. If you do, congratulations. If not now, when? I want to go to that board for a moment. I know it's the time we wrap up, but 407-718, you've been holding for a long time. Did you want to ask Dr. Cindy a question or make a comment? 407-718.
Yes, I would like to make a comment. I'm a 20-year breast cancer survivor, and I really appreciate
it. What is your name, dear? What is your name?
Krista.
Go ahead, Krista.
I would like to say that I'm a 20-year breast cancer survivor, and it was very interesting listening to all of the people's comments because I really have to agree with them. I also appreciate the pink and the wearing of the pink, and it really is there for people to acknowledge what they've fought through and what they've survived and to make others aware. But also, I don't want to be a victim. I don't want someone to associate me with a person who's still ill. So I really appreciate it. But I think there's really lots of hope for people with breast cancer. When I was first diagnosed, my mother introduced me to the neighbor down the street who was a 17-year survivor. And that really helped me to look forward and say, okay, you know, this is not a death sentence. We can do this. That along with other people who were going through it who we visited with and talked with and gave a lot of support. So I think your program and what you and Dr. Cindy are talking about is very important for nowadays for people to listen to.
I got to say, what a great person to end with, a 20-year breast cancer survivor. God bless you, and God bless the next 20, 40, 60 years. Thank you so much for letting us know that. That is awesome. I'm thrilled. Something I don't usually call on people as we're wrapping up the show, but something said I have to call on 407-718. I really appreciate your sharing with us. 20-year survivor, God bless you. Dr. Cindy, you want to just say anything
Absolutely. Yes. There's no better way to top off the topic, right? But I just want to say thank you so much, because you're the absolute proof of what we're saying, that there are those and so many examples, you know, of people who have overcome cancer and have continued living their life. You're not victims. You've not been victimized at all. Thank you so much for sharing that for all of the listeners.
Yeah, that is awesome. And I'm just wondering, because she was with us since the beginning, 561-843, the dietitian. Miss Dietitian, would you like to share anything? That was your dietitian, Brandy. You're on the board if you'd like to share anything. That's a very important part of good health, is a dietitian. Okay, she wants to remain a silent partner. I just wanted to give her the opportunity. So, folks, my message, go get yourself checked out. Don't wait. And I have a special – the Serenity Prayer is my favorite prayer, but I certainly don't take credit for writing it. Reinhold Niebuhr wrote it. This is my special prayer for all of you. Make yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. And I'm someone who really believes in miracles. Every day brings its own set of miracles. So, folks, be kind to each other. Make someone happy today. And we invite you to be happy with us every day. We invite you to laugh along with us, sing along with us, and dance along with us. And you can do that starting right now to the Joyce Barry Mash. Thank you, and God bless you.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.